Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest writes for various newspapers and magazines in the Greater Toronto Area, is a communications and PR assistant for two nonprofit organizations, and is a freelance ghostwriter. Melanie Teague is also one of the authors of As the Ink Flows, Devotions to Inspire Christian Writers and Speakers, which was released earlier this year. Melanie is on the phone with us from her Toronto area home office to talk to us about her work and As the Ink Flows. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to None of Us Are Free from the Commissionaire's new CD, Shelter Me. Conversation with Melanie T. Good evening, Melanie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Great. Now, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about you. When did you develop a love for writing?
Well, actually, it was quite early on in my life. I didn't realize the signs were there, but they were. Back. You know, when I did a project when I was at school, we had to do our own magazine. Now, this is back in the way back dark ages. I'm not going to reveal my age, but we had to do a magazine, and we had to do the layout, and you know, this was before the internet. So everything was done from scratch and by hand, and I just absolutely loved that project. It was one of the most amazing experiences. In fact, I think my magazine was probably three times as thick as everybody else's in the class, but I really enjoyed putting that together. And I mean, then later on in high school, I enjoyed English literature. I did a few speech contests, Shakespeare contest, and one of the speeches I had to do was about Chaucer, the Canterbury Tales. So I really did have a love for the English language back then already. And then, I went in a different direction after school. But then around 2010, I realized, you know what, I know what I want to be when I grow up. And that was a writer. And here I am. But I thought, you know, oh, I want to be the next, you know, J.K. Rowling and write the next big fiction seller. But then on doing a bit of research into what I wanted to do specifically, after reading the book Letters of E.B. White, I realized I really was more interested in nonfiction and real stories, and that's the direction I've taken.
Well, and that sort of has led you down this path to write for a number of publications, and you also do communications and public relations work. How did you get into those specific areas in terms of wanting to tell stories and wanting to tell real stories?
Well, I guess part of it is that I'm naturally a very curious person. So when I started doing journalistic things, I had the permission to ask questions where you wouldn't normally do that in conversation. But as a journalist, I was able to dig deeper and ask these questions and not get frowned on. So I used that opportunity. In fact, very early in my journalistic career, I was very interested in families who had adopted children from China. And I interviewed quite a few families. I didn't even know where I would use the information, but it was something that I was really curious about. And, later on, I ended up using that research in an article for Faith Today. It was a special adoption issue, and there's a piece in there about my observations.
Right. I actually think I had a piece in that same issue on a fellow who's now a senator up in Ottawa. And that, so in looking at that, you've also become a ghostwriter. How did that sort of come about, and what do you see your role as a ghostwriter doing?
Well, one of the things about being a ghostwriter is capturing the voice of the author, which would be the person who gets the name on the book. And what I did, I had a personal trainer who was incredibly technical. So his books were very dense with facts and almost read like a textbook. And my job was to take it and make it more conversational and bring it to the reader in such a way that it would be enjoyable. And because I knew him, I was able to bring his humor and the way he deals with his clients, that voice, in with the work. So not only were we delivering the facts in a way that was reader-friendly, but we were bringing his brand, really, to the reader. So that was a really fun project.
And how have you built on that whole aspect of being a ghostwriter?
Ghostwriting takes different forms. It doesn't necessarily have to be a book. For example, if somebody doesn't have the writing skills themselves, but they want to write up a piece, or then I can write it for them. So it could be an article, it can be a column, it can be anything else. Ghostwriting is not as prevalent as you might think. They're quite rare. But one of the very well-known ghostwriters is Cecil Murphy, and he's quite an inspiration.
Yeah, and I've had a chance to meet Cecil at some Write Canada conferences in the past, and he's done quite a number of things. Looking at all of the types of writing that you've done over the years, and that is there one that you prefer to the other?
Well, actually, my first love is really devotions and writing inspirational things, but one of the positive things about doing freelance writing is that you have such a variety of things to do. But the challenge is finding time and energy to do your own creative work. So my voice is most comfortable in devotions and devotionals and sort of a column, writing columns, whether that is in the Christian Market or in the local newspaper. But what I really do enjoy doing is the profiles for philanthropists or sports celebrities or that kind of thing. Just really getting to know them and digging into their background and finding out why this person does what they do, who they are. Because it's one thing having a resume of what they've done. It's another thing getting to know the person, their motives, their background. Most of them usually come out of a background of strong parental guidance, I have found. So it's very interesting to me to see where those things come from.
I've done similar stuff for publications where I've been looking at the faith story of some of these people as well, and how they integrate faith into whatever they do, whether that's art or business or as a sports figure in that as well. So, but I like the fact that you're talking about one of the things you like is writing devotionals, and that gives us a nice segue to our next section. And before we do that, we're going to take a quick break and then continue our conversation with writer Melanie Tague, who is one of the contributors to As the Ink Flows, Devotions to Inspire Christian Writers and Speakers. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Sprawling on the fringes of the city in geometric order, an insulated border in between the bright lights and the far unlit unknown. Growing up, it all seems so one-sided. Opinions are provided, the future's predecided, detached and subdivided in the mass production zone. Where is the dreamer or the misfit so alone? In the high school halls, in the shopping malls, conform or be cast out. In the basement bars, in the backs of cars, be cool or be cast out. Any escape might help to soothe the unattractive truth. The suburbs have no charms to soothe the restless dreams of you.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Subdivisions from Jacob Moon's The Loop CD. This rendition of the Rush hit led Jacob to being asked to contribute a version of the song Something for Nothing on Rush's 40th anniversary edition of their iconic 2112 album that includes a CD of cover versions. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Melanie Tague. Melanie, just before I went to break, you were talking about one of the things that you really like to do is write devotions, and you were part of the group of writers that wrote As the Ink Flows. Where did the whole idea for As the Ink Flows come from?
Well, it's interesting because in 2012 we formed a writers group, called ourselves Friends in the Word, and one of the members is Glenda Deckerman. She came up with the idea of doing something together and entering into a writing contest. And I jumped on the idea straight away, and it was suggested that we do something for writers in particular, since we are writers and we want to write something for writers. And we ended up doing a devotional that ended up being so close to our hearts that we ended up not actually entering the competition. We felt that the Lord was leading us to give it a wider audience. And so we pitched it to quite a few publishing houses, and we ended up with, I think, 4 or 5 offers. So it was actually something that just took on a life of its own and became this amazing project that has been a real blessing to all of us.
Now, how did that work with 5 writers doing that? Did one person, like you mentioned Glenda, did one person in particular sort of take the lead on contacting the publishers, or how did you work through that whole submission process?
Well, it's quite interesting because out of our group, which is Glenda Dekamer, Carol Ford, Claudia Lutstra, and Marguerite Cummings, we all have different strengths. And Glenda is our visionary. She's like, come on, let's do this, you know. And then Carol Ford keeps us in line. She's the organizational person. She's the one who sent out all the proposals. And she's the one who does minutes for our group when we meet once a month, and we still meet. And then Claudia she was working on her memoir at the time, and she is a one to do journaling. And then Marguerite Cummings is a very strong editorial personality, so she would be the one to look at things in fine detail. But also, surprisingly, she's our poet. And so although Glenda and I wrote most of the content, Carol, once we got started, it kind of became contagious. The enthusiasm to the project became contagious. And then Carol and Claudia and Marguerite contributed. And so Marguerite contributed some poems. And Carol Ford sent out the proposals. And, you know, using the talents that we all have in different areas combined, ended up being something that was quite, unique for five of us to work together and still remain friends and still be praying for each other and laughing and crying together over the years we've been meeting. So that's how it happened.
Yeah. You've split the book up into a number of different sections like the craft, inspiration, know yourself. How did you, as a group, decide what the sections were going to be and what topics you were going to cover and how you were going to approach all of this?
We had sort of a loose idea of things we wanted to do. We wanted it to be inspirational as well as, you know, addressing the craft of a writer or a speaker. But really, we really let the Lord lead us. And, you know, if something was on our hearts or if a specific scripture spoke to us about the writing craft or the life of the writer, then we would go with that. And then we came together and put it all together, and then sort of these categories emerged out of what we had gathered together.
And looking at sort of how that process worked, what were some of the challenges that you would have had? I mean, and I know as a writer myself that, you know, just trying to sit down and do something on your own is enough of a challenge, never mind having four other people involved in that process as well. So what were some of the challenges that you worked through?
Well, one of the challenges was having a publisher in the States, whereas we were all in Canada. So that was a little tricky. But in fact, I think having five of us work on it made the load a lot easier because, you know, Marguerite would go through everything afterwards and really focus in on the details, whereas I'm not a huge, you know, detail person. And Carol would be the one doing the proposal, making sure we have our marketing things up to date, that sort of thing. And Glenda would be the one, you know, motivating, and Claudia would be praying. And because we all had a role to play, it wasn't like you were in it on your own. Each of the pieces kind of fell together, and it was a shared load rather than one person trying to handle it all together.
Right. Now, you mentioned yourself and one of the other, I forget who it was now, or did the vast majority of the writing. How did you decide yourself what things you were going to write on? I look at, there was one where you had sort of a three-part element of where does your inspiration come from. How did you decide what you were going to write on?
Well, as I said, it really just came to me when I sat down to begin writing. That particular piece, those three pieces you're talking about, were inspired by a hymn and the story behind the hymn. And, you know, that your inspiration can come from tragedy. And sometimes I would just use scriptures that were really dear to my heart. For example, like Ezekiel is very close to me, and the dry bones in that passage, as well as Ecclesiastes. So sometimes I would choose these arbitrary scriptures that are not common ones that we always go to write devotionals. But those are ones that spoke to me, so I went with it. I mean, it wasn't very... I guess it was more intuitive writing than really having a plan ahead of time.
Right. Well, one of the things that you've done as well as part of this is not only do you have the devotional, but you also have segments and pages where you've got blank spaces and questions so and challenges so that the people who are reading them, the writers and the speakers who are reading this, can challenge themselves and you either do a writing prompt or ask a question that would get things going. How did that that component of the devotional come together?
Well, it was very important to us to offer some space for personal reflection and creative response. We wanted writers to not only just read it and go, oh, that's nice, and put the book down. We wanted them to then take part in it and reflect firstly on what the devotion said and then make a response, either in writing or, you know, even thinking about a topic would hopefully then bring some sort of creative reaction, whether it's a poem or a letter, but some sort of affirmation that what you've just read has resonated with you, that touched you in a personal way.
With that, I think we're going to take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with writer Melanie Teague. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
The earth can shake, the sky come down, the mountains all fall to the ground.
Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Shelter Me, the title track from the Shelter Me CD by the Commissionaires, Jacob Moon, and New World Sun frontman Joel Parisian. I'm your host, Robert White. I'm going to wrap up our conversation with writer Melanie Teague. Melanie, you just mentioned that you wanted this to be more than just something that writers would read and go, yeah, that's a nice little thought. You wanted a response in that. And As the Ink Flows has been out for a little while now, what has been the reaction to the book? What have you heard back from the people that have read it?
Well, one of the first reactions I had back was from a blogger who had really put aside her own creative writing for a while. And after reading the devotional, she said, wow, I'm inspired again. My passion for writing has returned. So that was something that was really close to my heart that I thought, wow, this is why we did this, you know. And in the interim, we've had people use the book for opening their own writers' groups, you know, opening their session with reading one of the devotions and sharing it with the group. We've had some professors from local universities use it to read for their classes. And then, you know, just the reviews have been amazing. People have, you know, whether they're in the writing craft or not, or just you know, journal for their own personal edification, or whether they're aspiring writers, or whether they've been in the craft for many years, they're finding that seeing the writer's life through these different perspectives has been something that has been refreshing to them. And, you know, writing's not it's quite a lonely profession. And in some cases, you're stuck behind your desk, you know, doing projects for months on end. And it's nice to know that when you read something like this, you realize you're not alone in your profession.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned in the introduction, it's mentioned that part of this came out of the connections that the five of you have made through groups like the Word Guild and at places like Write Canada. And that's one of the comments that always comes back that I've heard from people that have gone to something like that for the first time or connected with people for the first time is realizing that, you know, there are other writers out there and you're not the only one going through some of the things that you've gone through. And that, what did you yourself hope that people would walk away from as they read the devotionals?
I would say that the most important thing that I wanted people to know is that, you know, as Christians and as writers or speakers or creatives who are Christians, God has a purpose for that creativity. It comes from Him, it's a gift from Him, and He's given it to us. And we have such a responsibility to be a good steward of that creativity. And so one of the things is to take responsibility for that creativity and use it for His glory, whether it's in the Christian market or whether it's not, just to be a light and to just, excuse me, just to shine and use what God has given you for His glory.
Right. And just with just a couple of seconds left in that, where can people find out more both about you or about As the Ink Flows?
My website is melanieteague.com. And if they want to purchase the book or find out more about the book, the publisher is Judson Press. The book is available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or christianbook.com or in Canada, Sperling's Church Supply. And you know, we have a Facebook group called As the Ink Flows, which is a discussion group, if there's any questions there.
Great. Well, Melanie, thank you very much for your time tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Melanie Teague. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @Selah13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.